It is mighty men that make a man mighty. From 2 Samuel 23. But I want to read from 1 Chronicles and chapter 12, verse 16. Some Benjaminites and Judahites came to the stronghold to David. David went out to meet them and said to them, "If you have come to me in friendship to help me, then my heart will be knit to you." Then David received them and made them officers of his troops. Of these that originally came to David in the early days were some who would have been natural enemies. Besides people from Saul's tribe, there were perhaps Hittites and other nationalities. Some were fighters. Others were intellectuals, we read about in 1 Chronicles 12. And similarly, the disciples of Jesus were of different types. One was a collaborator with the Romans, and another was an independent fighter, for example. Now, Thomas Carlyle, the philosopher, suggested that history was the story of great men. David was a great man. But he would have achieved little if it had not been for the people that came alongside him. Was he the product of his society, or was he the shaper of his world? He was God's man of the moment when God said it was Israel's time. He was just part of the story, a big part. God was shaping the world through them, and God is after people that can change the situation. Ezekiel chapter 22 says, "I looked for someone among you who could build walls or stand in front of me by the gaps in the walls to defend the land from keeping it from being destroyed, but I couldn't find anyone." There is togetherness. No man can achieve much on his own. He must have a team. Some to give advice, some to carry out the commands, and some just to support. Twice a year, the government of Britain gives honours to individuals, from knighthoods to companions of honour. The military also give, when the occasion demands, medals, from Victoria Crosses to being mentioned in dispatches. David's men were honoured too. These men were essential to making David king. We will never be anyone without anyone. We can have different types of relationships: working ones, blood ones, friendship ones, loving ones. Then there are those relationships that are not too definable. They have both affection and friendship combined. David had that relationship with his men. It was not a subservient, controlling relationship, but a sort of understanding, unspoken, of one with another. It went far beyond having the same objectives and the same goals. These were men of equal courage and of similar abilities as David. He, unlike Saul, was prepared to let them be who they were meant to be, and never saw them as a threat to his leadership. Saul wished for superiority among others around him, suffering perhaps from illusionary supremacy. Saul had not grasped what it was to be the first among equals. David's men knew he was the rightful king and were happy just to fight with him and not just for him. The Christian relationship is based on saved sinners knowing that Jesus should be crowned king over the lives of all people, but it is also having a love for one another that will face trials and come out strong and victorious. Jesus said, "Hereby shall people know that you're my disciples, that you love one another." It is said that the huge redwood trees in California are the largest things on earth and the tallest trees in the world. Some of them are 100 meters high and several thousand year old. Yet the trees have a shallow system of roots, but they are intertwined. They are locked to each other. When the storm comes or the wind blows, the redwoods stand. They are locked to each other. They don't stand alone, for all the trees support and protect each other. Being united is a wonderful thing. Being united brings the presence of Jesus. It says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I present with them. What a wonderful thing. May the Lord bless you today. Amen.